I hate you, 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 I hate you. I don't want to ever see you again. I don't want to have anything more to do with you. I hate you, I hate you. Oh my God, what a way to start a talk. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capa, California, with instant illumination. I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you. What a terrible thing to say. Well, I had a talk with a young lady this morning on the telephone. In fact, she called three times, and she was telling me that she's having difficulty in having a relationship. And the man was nice, but he was on and off again. Sometimes he's nice, sometimes he's not. And she didn't know, She didn't know what to think or what to say or what to do. And I said, well, what do you think? How do you like him? How do you like your relationship? Forget what he thinks about it, but how do you like it? Well, could be better. Well, how could it be better? Well, he could be more thoughtful. He could be more loving. He could be more gentle. He could be more sensitive. He could be more caring. He could... I said, no, just quiet down now. Quiet down now. And she said, but I get so frustrated. And I said, do you know why you get frustrated? I said, I'm Mr. Anthony. I know it all. Mr. Anthony used to be a radio show. You'd call up and ask questions about your marital life or everything, and he'd have answers for everything. You know, like Ann Landers, he knew, he had good research staff. Well, anyhow, this lady was very upset. And I said, now, how much is it worth to you to have a good relationship with this man? And I said, it's going to cost you. She said, what do you mean? And I said, well, it's going to cost you. Because you just don't get something for nothing in this life. You have to really pay for it right through the nose if it's going to work. And she says, well, I only have a couple hundred dollars in my bank account. And I said, that's a lie, and you shouldn't have told that to me. Because you're independently wealthy, and I know it. I've been in your bank account, and I know what you got in there. Mm-hmm. How do you know? I said, that's another story. Now, are you willing to pay the price that it's going to cost you to have a good relationship with this man? And she says, I'll take the leap, yeah. I said, okay. Now, the leap that you have to take is a leap of liking yourself. Absolutely liking yourself. Now, if your child does something stupid, do you forever cast them out of the house and into the fire and burn the weeds in the fire, like the Bible story has it? Or do you say to your kid, no, let's see, what's the problem here? What's going on here? That's not like you. You're a super guy. I love you so much. You know, what's going on here? And then, all of a sudden, you can start having a relationship with your son again. Well, now, you have this person in your life. Now, we won't call him a man. We won't call him a woman. We won't call him a child. We won't call him a dog. This person, or whatever it is, that you have in your life. Now, every time we put a label on him, you make that label in something ugly, you know. Oh, that man. Oh, that terrible, thoughtless creature, you know. And you make it something bad. Now, you have to be very careful. Now, invite him over for dinner tonight. And tell him that you would like to have him for dinner. And he will say to you, I don't know. I appreciate you inviting me, but I know that you're not much of a cook. And yeah, that's true. I'm not much of a cook. Well, that's okay. Invite him over for dinner. And then what? Well, I say, well, when you invite him over for dinner, have a pair of slippers in the living room by the television and have the television turned on to his sports show that he likes. And have the coffee table there, or the TV table, whatever you call it, and have a glass of wine on there and have some hors d'oeuvres on there for him and say, sweetheart, because, I mean, you want a relationship, don't you? So you say, sweetheart, come right in. Are you sure it's the same place that I've always come to, you know? Where's all the noise? Where's all the confusion? You know, no noise, no confusion. So I said, well, I had a talk with Dr. Barley, and he told me to cool it. Oh, thank goodness. Thank goodness. You can always depend on Dr. Barley to come up with the right answer for you. So he goes in the living room, sits there in front of the TV, and turns on the sports and watches it while he has his glass of wine and eats the hors d'oeuvres she has setting out there for him. But she doesn't have ordinary hors d'oeuvres out there. She happens to know whenever they go to a restaurant, he loves shrimp. And he loves the shrimp cocktail, and he loves all these little tidbits and stuff like that. And he loves calamari, and he loves all of these things. And so she's got a whole bunch of them sitting there for him. And then he says, well, this is wonderful. And so what she does is she draws up a chair next to his, and they sit and talk. And he says, I thought you invited me for dinner. I did. But the first part of the dinner is for me to enjoy your company, because that sets the pace for how wonderful the dinner is. Oh, well, that's nice. That's good. And so they're sitting there, and they're holding hands across the two chairs, and the other hands are reaching around for the wine and for the hors d'oeuvres and the shrimp and the calamari, and they're just enjoying themselves. And as they're enjoying themselves, he turns off the TV because he's not interested in it anymore. He's interested in talking to her. And then as he sits there talking to her, he says, you know, I feel so peaceful here. And she says, under her breath, that's what I planned. So they sit there quietly. And then he says, well, you know, I really am hungry. And she says, I know. And so then she says, I'm going to go out in the kitchen, and I'm going to make something very special just for you. Now, what is your favorite food? And I already know your favorite food is T-bone steak, you know, Worcestershire sauce and all the other stuff on it like that. And he says, well, to tell you the truth, that's not my favorite. That's just my show dinner when I'm out with other people, show off that I'm eating a big meal. You know what my favorite is? My favorite is cauliflower and cabbage and things like that, you know, broccoli and what have you. Well, that's very vegetarian-ish. He says, well, my favorite. She said, well, I've got it. You do? Hey, wonderful. All fresh, yeah. She said, but first, I want you to come out in the kitchen and help me a little bit if you like. Oh, I'd love that. So he comes out in the kitchen, and she says, you know, I've got these peas that I know you love so much. He said, I don't love peas. He said, well, when I am done with these peas and you, peas will be your favorite food. You watch and see. And he said, well, that I got to see. I mean, he was open a little bit. So he shelled the peas. And she said, don't bruise them. Shell them gently and lovingly, because I'm going to put something special on the peas, and they cannot be bruised. They must be handled gently. He said, well, that's a new way of looking at shelling peas, you know. You go bam, clutch, and open, drup-dop. But each pea he gently put in the bowl until he had exactly 100 peas. 100 peas in the bowl. And the bowl was a bowl of, you know, what do you call it, special glass?
Crystal.
Crystal, thanks, that's the word I wanted. Crystal glass. And It had just been polished and cleaned, and it was just beautiful. And it was just taken out of the refrigerator where it was super cooled. And now these warm peas that have just been picked are dropped into this crystal bowl. And he says, that's kind of fun, you know. I'm really eager to see what's going to come after this. And so as she works with him, and I could tell the other story too, but we'll leave that past. As she works with him, he gets all the peas done, the perfect 100 peas. And then she goes into the kitchen with her back to him, and she says, just a minute, sweetheart. And he is watching and thinking, what is she doing with her back to him? And she is going, she is kissing her hands and filling her hands with kisses. Just filling her hands with kisses. And then she comes back to him. She says, now just a minute, I can't let any of them escape. He says, any what? She says, I just filled my hands with kisses, and now I'm going to wrap the peas in my kisses. And so she bounces the peas around in the crystal bowl with her kisses. And the peas give an audible sound of, and they're so happy. I mean, have you ever heard a happy pea?
Yes.
Well, okay. So then she says, now, I have this very special thing which is going to make all the difference in the world. And he says, well, that's pretty special there. I have never had kissed peas before, you know. Sun-kissed, maybe, but not hand-kissed. She said, well, Dr. Marley told me how all the children all over Nigeria were coming up to him wanting a hand kiss from him, and he was kissing all these thousands of children from all these different schools, and, you know, their dirty little hands, and kissing them, and they loved it so much they went around several times in the line and just had a good time. And she said, okay, that's enough of Dr. Marley. Now, what are you going to do next? And she says, well, this. So she goes to the refrigerator, and she takes out a freshly peeled avocado that she had peeled just before he got there. And then she took out some what?
Curry.
She took out the tip of a tiny teaspoon, not a teaspoon, a tiny spoon of curry. Just the tip. Just enough to give it a spicy scent as a condominium. Condominium, like a condiment. Condominium, that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Like a condiment. So and then he says, well, that's interesting. And so then she takes this also in her kissed hand. And she squashes the avocado and then sort of meals into it the curry, so that all throughout the avocado, the curry spice is into it. And he's looking, he says, what an interesting mess. And she says, it is, isn't it? And then she takes it and passes it in front of his nose, and he smells it. Hey, that is interesting. And so then she takes all the peas, and she rolls them in her kissed hands with the avocado and the curry touch in it, and makes them all a little bit with that flavor. Now, you think that it'd be slimy and gushy and so forth, but not really. Because you have 100 peas, and you have about a quarter of an avocado, and you have that little bit of curry sauce. And then you mix them all together. And then she takes them. Boy, I'm sure glad you're not telling this story. Ellen's clapping her hands together, squashing the peas so they fly out of her fingers. Now, she takes this crystal bowl with these peas that have just been loved to pieces and puts them in the refrigerator and leaves them there while she says, okay, no. And then the story goes on. But by the time she's got him to the table and ready to eat, and he tastes those peas, they become the greatest aphrodisiac that you could ever imagine. Because he is so gentle, so cool, that is so prepared. I don't mean cool. It's so warm, but so sensitive to her. So sensitive to her tender, loving, caring of each step along the way. And when they finally do sit down to the dinner, it doesn't matter what's on the table.
They don't eat.
They have already eaten the finest meal that life could ever serve them. A meal of the most pure, beautiful love. And then she called me back a couple hours later, after they'd eaten and said goodnight. And she said, "Herb, that was the most beautiful experience I've ever had. Thank you so much." And I say, "Well, did you do everything I asked you to do?" She said, "Yes." "And what did he say to you at the end of the meal?" He said, "You know, Rhonda, I really love you. I really love. I saw a side of you tonight that I'd never seen before. Always you were so rushed. Always you were so hyper. But tonight, you really just cared about me." And she told me this on the phone. And I said, "Did you notice that Rick really cared about you?" "Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did." She was so being herself and giving, so much outgo, she didn't need or expect or wait for him to love her and respond to her with his pure sensitivity of caringness and love. And I said, "Well, when do you want to have the service?" And she said, "What service?" "Well, the funeral, when you're going to shoot him. You said you wanted to shoot him." That he was so, "Oh no, oh ho, he's a gem, he is a true gem." You see, he didn't do anything different. She completely changed her attitude about herself and about how she was working with him. Mm-hmm. And what happened to their relationship? The real person that was always there showed up on both sides. And their relationship is off on a better shoe, better foot. Now, can you see how Ellen said, "Are there any phones available to people to call up for dial healing prayers and things like that?" And I said, "Yes. Dial Healing Words is our telephone number. That's available." And I said, "There's many more. When I was in Minneapolis, I had a telephone number up in Duluth and one down in Minneapolis for calling up Dial Healing Words. And you look in any phone book and you'll find many, many, many Dial Healing Words and with toll-free numbers on them. And they're from all over the world, all over the country." Now, Ellen says, "Well, it'd be so nice to have that so people could call when they're having a panic situation or having a serious situation." Well, they're due and they do. But, you see, you have to have people on the other end of the line who are very powerful, who don't see the problem but see the solution. Because if the people on the other end of the line do the normal psychiatric, psychological, ministerial thing, "What's the problem? What's the problem? What's your problem today?" Well, nothing happens. But if the minister, psychiatrist, psychologist, counselor, whomever they may be, would just say, "Well, now, I make a charge for my service here. And my charge is $1,000 an hour. And you can tell me all your problems. But it's 50 cents an hour if you just tell me your solutions. And I'll work with you on your solutions. Are you ready for that?" $1,000 an hour, 50 cents an hour. Well, what's this all about? Well, if you tell me your problem, then I've got to get that cleaned out of my mind before I go on to your solutions and then have your solutions happen immediately. Now, you want your solutions to happen immediately? Yes! Well, then let's go. And that's the kind of counseling that you want. That's the kind of counseling that is most effective and most beautiful and most outstanding. And would you believe we have just struck 20 minutes again? Have a lovely day, and know that I don't hate you. I don't hate you. I don't hate you. I like me. I like me. I like me. And when I say I like me, then I look at the whole world as a very likable place. And I take my kisses and I fill my hands up with my kisses and I cover everything with it. My body, my friends, my house, my cooking, my life, and it all comes back roses. Have a lovely day and know that I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.